The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, a new Lewis timetable with increased services, an extension of the Dart Line to Drogheda. These are expected to be included in a new action plan aimed at tackling traffic congestion in the greater Dublin area. But does it go far enough? I'm joined now by Brian Caulfield, Professor in the School of Engineering at Trinity College in Dublin, and Michael Pidgeon, Dublin City Green Party councillor. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might come to you first of all, Brian. Will you just outline for listeners, I suppose, the nuts and bolts of what's envisaged in this plan?
Well, I suppose we don't have the full nuts and bolts of it yet. Apparently, there are 54 measures that are going to be brought in. They include better guard enforcement of bus lanes to basically keep the bus lanes moving. As you mentioned, an extension of the Dart. A new Lewis timetable, which was going to happen anyway because we have a new operator coming in. And there are some measures around having more bus priority on the M4. There's also talk in the maybe medium term of some bus-based park and ride around the greater Dublin area.
And in your view, Brian, because you and I have been talking about traffic and planning and congestion for a very long time, does this meet the requirements for the city?
It will help. It will obviously help. Any new public transport services are definitely welcomed. But, you know, the real thing that we need to do, as we've spoken about many times, is the big infrastructure projects. Those are the kind of things. Those are the kind of projects like Metro and new Lewis lines that will open up the city and will reduce congestion. But I think there is potential. Say, for example, in the Lewis, it would be great to see. It would be great if we didn't put the Lewis to bed at 12:30 every evening. Perhaps we could run it longer, and especially at weekends, and we could change the service, have more. Reduce the headway on it and move more people on that asset.
And is that what we think they're planning, Brian, to extend the hours from earlier to later or those types of things? Because it would be hard to have increased frequency in parts of the city. I'm thinking, you know, where it crosses the quays and things like that. And, you know, it meets traffic and it meets traffic lights, etc. I'm not sure how many more Lewis's they could shoehorn in that service.
You're right. Once it gets into the city centre, it's the congestion that stops it being as efficient as it could be. And I suppose the measures around ensuring bus lanes are kept free and also the Lewis line is kept free could result in more trams happening per hour. I think the ultimate is maybe 24 trams over an hour period. Will we get to that? Perhaps not. But we, as I said, we could extend the opening hours of the Lewis past 12:30 at the weekends to enable people to get into the city much easier.
Before I head over to Michael, which I'm about to do, Brian, you might address this texter's query. It said, will it do anything for the M50? I am so, so sick of that road being at a standstill or barely moving. I have to be on it multiple times a week. It is the worst part of my day, always.
Yep, and that listener isn't alone. Will it do anything for the M50? Probably not. It's unlikely. These are the trips that are going into the city centre that they're going to impact upon. Perhaps some of the bus-based park and ride, this talk of one out in Bray, that could help. But I doubt we're going to see a massive change in the M50, unfortunately.
Yeah, without a change to the M50 and the congestion there, I don't know how happy commuters will be. Let's bring in Michael Pidgeon, Dublin City Councillor for the South West Inner City and from the Green Party. Michael, your reaction to what we've heard?
When I saw the headline, I thought, oh, great. And I was kind of looking forward to getting into the meat of it. But it actually seems to be a couple of ideas out of the 54 measures that are in there that they've leaked. And nearly all of them are things I've just seen already. So instead of kind of cooking up something new, it's more like reheating things in a microwave, if you know what I mean. It's ideas we've already seen in a lot of ways. Lewis capacity, the M4 bus lane, that sort of thing. It's not new. But there are a couple of things in there that I'd be hopeful if they actually do. And one of them is around camera-based enforcement in bus lanes. Vast majority of people in a car will follow bus lanes because we all get the logic of it. But there's a tiny minority of people who I probably can't accurately describe in daytime radio without using bad language, but like they block up bus lanes, massively slow down bus capacity, and largely, probably correctly, they think they're going to get away without any consequence whatsoever.
I've seen them. I mean, yeah. I am a commuter, so I've seen the people going up the bus lanes and I've seen them being caught going up the bus lanes too, although not always, obviously. But I wouldn't have thought that was having, you know, the odd person who will do that, because it is the majority of us do just sit and don't do it. I wouldn't have thought that was holding up congestion a huge amount.
I think here's the way I look at it, is that if you want to deal with congestion, you need to give, given that the city is built, it's an old city, particularly if you're coming into town, there isn't going to be an ability to add much more space for road traffic. So if you want to relieve congestion, you have to reduce the number of cars. That's not like an ideological thing. That's not niggling at people for using the car. It's just a simple question of maths and space. So if you want to get people onto a bus or a Lewis, you have to ensure that it's a reliable service. In my area, they changed some of the buses recently. One of them's become unreliable. I get it still, and it's empty because people have obviously just said, it's not worth my time, I'm not waiting for it.
And was it full previously?
It was a bit better. I mean, it still had problems. It was the 123 moved to the 73. It had problems. It's a bit worse now. But I guess that point is generalizable, that if you look around the city, there's a lot of people for whom, if there was a decent bus service, there'd be some people who have to take the car, but there'd be a lot of people who'd be happy not to, if there was a good bus service. And part of the reason we can't make the use of the assets we have in terms of buses or have a great speedy bus service is the things just keep getting caught in traffic. And if you look at the changes we made in the Keys, great controversial changes, taking some of the traffic off tiny stretches of the Keys, the bus flies along there now. It's a much better service. And as a result, I think if you bring in those sorts of changes, that's how you beat congestion. And I think that argument, I think that people have kind of got it in a way that maybe they didn't before. If you go back in Irish history up until the 50s, we're kind of ripping out the tram lines we had. Everything was moving towards like just road construction. You need to do some of that. Obviously, there's still plenty of towns that need to be bypassed.
Half our greenways are on old railway track lines.
Exactly, yeah.
Without the railway
But even
tracks.
In Dublin city centre, we had loads and loads of tram lines that were ripped up in favour of the bus and the car. And I think we're starting to get an understanding from looking elsewhere that you realise the only way to move people at scale without huge traffic in the city is public transport.
Brian, can I bring you back in? People are suggesting things here and I wonder, are they correct? Someone says, what about high-rise roads? Why don't we build roads higher than we have currently, like those flyovers that were built, and make them longer and they have their own routes? I've heard people say before, why not build a road over the M50, do you know what I mean? Wouldn't take up any extra land, it would just be on stilts or what have you. Or I've also heard people do the same thing with the train line there. Are they just prohibitively expensive? Are they good ideas, not good ideas?
Well, in Ireland, yes, they would be prohibitive. It would be very expensive. I suppose if we did that, what we would really be doing is kicking the can down the road for another 5 or 6 years, and will be an alleviation in congestion in some way, shape or form. But then it would come back again. There are very, very few examples across the world where that's happened and or that works.
So car use expands to road capacity is I think what you're saying there, that whilst it might ease congestion in the short to medium term, ultimately we would see more people using the roads as the roads became freer.
Exactly. That's what would happen. As I said, and as Michael is saying as well, it is public transport. It is investing in those big ticket projects, and to do them quick is important. And I would also say, you know, I'm sure your listeners in Galway and the other regional cities are listening to us talk about this. Where's the plan for those cities? Anybody that's been to Galway, they will know the nightmare of congestion.
Galway
that's
is
in that city.
Shocking. And sometimes Cork can be shocking too, but Galway is particularly bad. Someone else, Kevin in Old Town. Hello, Kevin. Thank you for your text. Says, and what do you think of this, Brian? They could run a DART spur line from Donabate to the airport. There is an argument that that would be a better idea than Metrolink, because Metrolink kind of connects with very little.
Well, Metrolink, I suppose, opens up the whole of the north side. The airport is only about 20% of the passengers that would use Metrolink. Yes, I think a DART spur is a great idea to the airport, but it would only be the airport. And there's a huge public transport deficit on the north side of the city. And that's what Metro is designed to fix.
And this one is for you, Michael, because I know you were a little bit out of breath when you arrived into the studio. What about the cyclists who block up the bus lanes and cause mayhem by constantly running and breaking the red lights? I knew there would have to be ultimately a text about cyclists eventually.
This is the story of my life. You say the word Green Party three times and a text will come in automatically. I think actually, to be honest, as someone who cycles a lot of the route and sometimes cycles my kid into creche, I would love not to be in a bus lane. And the best thing to do if you have the space in the road or using side roads is to have a bike lane, a bus lane and a general traffic lane. Segregate them, keep them apart like warring children. And it's by far and away the easiest way to deal with things. It's safer for everyone. And also, when you're driving, it means you don't have to deal with people on a bike. And for bus drivers as well, they don't have to deal with them either.
Jay says bikes, but also e-scooters hold up buses and delay commuters more than anything else. They are a big issue. E-scooters, I find as a motorist, I prefer cyclists by a wide mile to e-scooters, because e-scooters seem to just first of all, they're going much faster, and probably faster than they're supposed to, but definitely faster than cyclists. And then they seem to cut in ahead, and they're often going the wrong way up one-way streets, etc. Do you have a view on them?
Yeah, I cycle those roads as well, and I drive as well, and I see it, and I think some of that stuff is absolutely crazy, some of the behaviour there. But I do have to be honest that solving Dublin's traffic is not about like listing your pet peeves of some transport modes. Like, the real way to move things here and the real way to change things is, as Brian said, it's public transport. And we can talk about putting the M50 on stilts or whatever, but ultimately we know how to fix this because lots of other places have fixed this. There is a reason that Dublin and Irish cities are bad in particular, and that's because for a long time we either didn't have the money to invest in public transport as a country, or we chose not to.
Okay. Lots of people testing in agreeing with you about people in the bus lanes, Michael. And Brian, just to come back to you, in terms of what you've seen, you said it will help a little bit. Is it enough, though? Should there be more? Is there extra that's needed beyond what you're hearing from this plan, do you believe?
Yes, I think we need an awful lot more. There is a strategy there. The Greater Dublin Area Transport Strategy outlines the amount of light rail that's required in the city. It also outlines the metro and all of the bus connects. So all the investment of that needs to start quickly. The other thing that we haven't spoken about yet either is how freight gets in and around the city and how that can be done more efficiently too. So that is apparently something else that's going to be in the plan. I think as well around bikes as well, you know, we could expand our Dublin Bikes scheme. Have it more electric, make more people likely to use that scheme, I think would also help alleviate some of the congestion problems.
Yeah. Garrett has texted to say the M50 should let trucks and commercial vehicles travel free without tolls after 9 in the evening until 5 in the morning. Do either of you think that's a good idea?
A part of me wonders whether or not that's solving any problems. I mean, might be. I've no objection to it.
But in terms of freight congestion. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea. I suppose there's noise and pollution impacts that would have to be looked at as well. But yeah, if we can make better use of the M50 by doing that, why not?
All right. Look, thank you both very much for joining us on that new plan. That was Brian Caulfield, Professor at the School of Engineering at Trinity, and Michael Pidgeon, Dublin City Green Party Councillor. Let us know what you think out there, that expanded Lewis, that Dart all the way up into Louth. What's your view? Is that going to help enough? 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.